But when I sent out the notice, I got a special note back from Mike McCoy, who said, "I would love to come today, but am stuck at home at the home office. We have one car, and Kia is using it. Blessings for the new year. We'll listen to the CD to see if Larry told the truth." Mike McCoy. Oh, no. That last part I added. I added that last part. And then Diane Preston Riley said that she'll be missing the Wednesday luncheon. She's meeting with the vice president of programming at Fox this morning, 11 a.m. Please join me in believing the Lord will prepare the way, and the VP will say, "Yes, I'll let the winning edge, real winning edge, air." So a real mission that Diane has had to put this program of youth on the air, and this is a big opportunity. So our speaker today, with talking about big opportunities, is Larry Schrader, president of Five Star Properties Incorporated, a company which has owned and operated income investment real estate in the Atlanta metropolitan and North Georgia area since 1991. He is an active realtor with REMAX Northeast. Larry's originally from Chattanooga, where he was in management with JCPenney. He accepted a promotional transfer to Atlanta, later began his real estate career, and he came into a new knowledge of how God can use businessmen in the workplace when he was invited to a meeting by his wife, Deborah, shortly after they met. Larry and Deborah have four children and make their home in Lilburn, Georgia. He co-founded and co-hosts the Norcross Fellowship Luncheon, which has met weekly since 1985. Larry has spoken here before, obviously, but since he just turned the corner on the Big 6-0, I figure there was some old wisdom. No, that's the wrong way. There's some good wisdom that he might like to share with us, having reached this milestone. Yes, sir. Who's he co-host it with? That's right. Jekyll, I think. It's Heckle and Jekyll. But anyway, it's me. Anyway, well, please welcome Larry Schrader.
Well, Hans really took a chance when he tells my age and I have the microphone after him. He got there first, right? You know, seriously, Hans came to a surprise birthday party, and he used his camera to video the party. And I didn't realize the effect of that when he provided a CD with that on. He provided several of them for me to give the family. And I was embarrassed as I watched myself on there because of the weight I'd gained over the holidays. And I got under conviction on that because God delivered me from colon cancer back in 04. And here I treat my body like it's not important. So that helped me to join a health club and get up every morning. First thing I do is go and work out and get on the treadmill. So we think about those things that has an impact on our life. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. I think about the guys around the room that have heard my testimony many times, and I appreciate you coming to endure it again. Every time I speak somewhere, I think of the baseball player that had just made it up to the major leagues, and he kept saying, "Coach, put me in, coach, put me in." And finally, in the eighth inning, with two men on base, the team's behind by one run, man on second, man on third, and the kid gets up there, the rookie gets up there and watches the first pitch. It's a strike. He swings at the next ball and fouls it off. The next one, he swings at and misses. He goes back to the dugout, and as he's going back, there are boos from the crowd. Boo, boo. And the coach grabbed him and said, "Son, listen to that. You hear those boos?" He said, "That's not for me, coach. They love me. They're booing you for putting me in." So, Hines. I want to, you know, I stand up here weekly and open the meeting up and share scripture. But it's a little different when you're the main speaker. And when it's my role to tell you something you're going to leave here with that's going to make you a better person. I think as I reflect on the defining moments in my life, I'm believing that God will use that. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, I just submit myself to you. I pray that you'll speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned earlier that I had a good chance to not see the 60th birthday just a few years ago. I think about the times that we've had adverse things in our lives. I think the times that I've had positive things in my life, such as last Sunday morning on the way to church. I hear Charles Stanley, and he's talking about belief. He's talking about repentance. I want to read you a scripture. Romans 10:9 says, and I had always used this. In fact, there was a time that I was delivering food for Feed the Hungry while I was involved in Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship very heavily. We went to a house in Decatur with a box full of food, and the man came to the door. Judge Richard Chambers and I were delivering the food. The man came to the door and says, "Praise God, I was hoping that Feed the Hungry would bring me some food." I said, "Well, here we are." We set the food in there and said, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yeah, I work in the prison ministries. My mama lives here with me, and she's not a Christian." I said, "Really? Could we talk to your mother?" "Yeah, I think so. Mama, come on out here." So she came out very slowly, and I introduced myself, and I said, "Ma'am, do you believe in Jesus?" "Not like he does." "What do you mean by that?" Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God?" "Well, yeah, but not like he does." I said, "Do you believe that he died and he was put on a cross? He died and then he was raised again?" She said, "Yeah, but not like he did." I said, "Can I show you something?" And I pulled my testament out of my pocket. And I said, "Ma'am, right here in Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And you just told me that, ma'am. Do you understand that? And you know, tears were running down her cheeks. And I look over in the corner and her son's down on his face in the floor. "Praise the Lord," he says. He gets up and he shouts. And I cry with her. And we leave there realizing. I've told that story. We leave there realizing that she was saved. And we were on the right mission. We were at the right house at the right time. I've told that story to some people, particularly our former pastor. I was telling the story to him, and he said, "You know, I don't see the repentance sometimes in people." Now I'm getting back to what Charles Stanley said. Charles Stanley turned the light on for me, because if you believe what this right here says, if you believe, Charles Stanley says, you cannot believe without repenting. You can't repent without believing. It goes together. I said, "Wow, that's it. That does tell the whole story." Because if you believe, you repent, and if you really accept Jesus, it'll make a difference in your life. God is constantly providing for us to grow. Many of you that have heard my testimony know part of it, but so much more have been added. You know, I sat down and made a list of the things I didn't have time to tell you about, and I was going to tell you all those things I didn't have time to tell you about. And the list was too long, so I threw it away. I made a list of the things that I am going to tell you about. You know, in Full Gospel, when we're involved with that, very often they would say, "Well, your testimony needs to be the same. You don't need to get into preaching. You don't need to do anything but share your testimony." Well, that testimony is what changes as we grow. They say the only thing born full grown is a wasp. And the rest of us have to grow a little bit at a time. And that's certainly the way we will be, and I assure you, Ron tells me that it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts, right, Ron? That is the fact. After we think we've got it figured out, we're going to learn some more. And that's exciting to me because I'm understanding how to function more and more every day in this world like I'm supposed to be functioning in order to have an impact on those I come in contact with. And he's provided for me a platform here today to hopefully share with you some things in my story that will make you believe. And when you believe, you repent from that unbelief. You know what I'm saying? Boy, that is a powerful thought. I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. My dad was a truck driver. We weren't Christians. Didn't go to church. I finished the 8th grade at East Lake Junior High School. That's back when it was junior high, not middle school. We moved to Rossville, Georgia. Built a house down there in Rossville. And as I thought about that this morning, and as I think about the men that have touched my lives and had an impact on my life, I thought of Emmett Wilson. Emmett Wilson played football, semi-pro, for the Chattanooga Cherokees. I would see his picture in the paper. He was a defensive end with them. I always read the sports page. I listened to the Chattanooga Lookouts games on the radio every night. Never went to one of their games. That just wasn't something that my dad did. But heard a knock on the door, went to the door, and lo and behold, Emmett Wilson is standing there. He is inviting us to church at Mount Olive Baptist Church. He drives the church bus, and it'll come down there and pick us up. Why not? I'm 16 years old. I don't have a car yet. I've got a girlfriend in the neighborhood, and we can go together. That's a good thing to do. We went on Wednesday night the first time. It was a youth revival. And I kept going back. There was a couple of guys that was well known. Big notoriety for fighting. Any of you guys remember when fighting used to be something that was done behind the schoolhouse? Or fighting was just something that happened. And it was those guys that could win that you really looked up to and respected. Well, Jerry Lewis and Bobby Patton were two guys you better not mess with. Blimp and Baby Huey. Were their names. Those were cartoon characters, I guess. But that were their nicknames. You know what I saw? I saw Blimp and Baby Huey sitting there in church. And I went back to church on a Sunday evening, and a very convicting message had me kind of holding on to the aisle in front of me, to the bench in front of me. And Jerry Lewis came over to me, and he said, "Larry, my life was a mess before I turned it over to God." That's all he said. And I was down to the altar. I became a Christian at 16 years old. I started making deals with God. If he'd get me a car, I'd be at church every time the doors were open. They asked me to play football because we built my house that summer, and I'd been a kind of a pudgy kid. But building that house, man, I was taking the shingles up the ladder. I was building up, and my legs were getting stronger. They asked me to go out for the football team, and I went out, and I was the fastest lineman. I went out as a defensive end. That's what Emmett Wilson was. That's what I wanted to be. I was the fastest lineman they had. So I played linebacker. The first game that I started, I tore my knee up. It was against Macaulay High School. I tore my knee up so badly that I quit playing football. I didn't get my letter that year. And it discouraged me. The reason I got in first place, and this is what I've been able to tell my son, Caleb, you hang in there and do what you need to do. The guys ahead of you are going to fall by the wayside. They'll quit. Or you'll just get so much better, it'll be obvious. Anyway, the guy ahead of me in the lineup had injured his shoulder, and I started that game. I had in my mind that I was going to get to the top, like the starting lineup, and something's going to happen, and I won't get it. And when I didn't get that letter, and Mike Godwin did get the letter, that really bothered me. I thought, even though I was a Christian, I kept thinking, no matter how good it's going, it's not going to get as good as it can get. And see, I just had partial truth on that. I went to work with J.C. Penney, went to school at McKenzie College and went to work with J.C. Penney part-time. I left McKenzie College and went on the management training program with Penney's. Went to church with a young lady by the name of Pamela Price. She and I became sweethearts and got married. We moved to Atlanta with J.C. Penney. In fact, moved here and opened on the management team that opened the store over at North Lake Mall. We had a baby, a little girl, Corey. Pam sang in the choir at church. Pam sang in the quartet. Pam had an affair with somebody in the church. She didn't want to be married anymore. She came to me, and up until that time, I was one of these guys that said, if that ever happened to me, I'd kill them both. You know, I'd go find him and do so and so, and I'd do. But I tell you, when you're faced with a real issue, and you look at Corey, a year old, I say, Pam, we need to stay together for Corey. She said, no, Corey's young enough, she'll never know. Man, we need to go talk to Brother Guy. Guy Rainwater was a pastor. Come on, let's do this. Let's go talk to Brother Guy. Went to talk to Brother Guy. He told us how important it was, marriage, and how it was the foundation for what this country is. He told us all those things, and she's nodding her head. We get the card, and she says, I still want a divorce. Man. We go through the divorce, and I buy me a Corvette. That's what you're supposed to do with a divorce guy. You know, you gotta have something to get the women's attention. So for about 3 years, I'm having a ball, except I'm getting farther and farther away from God. I was over at a friend's house. He liked my Corvette so good, he went and bought him one. He was working at Penny's also. We arranged it so we had the same off day, so we were over there washing our cars, you know. And I look across the yard at the next door neighbor, and out there on a lounge chair, there is a girl laying there, sunbathing. And I said, Walter, who is that? I said, oh, man, she's too smart for you. She's in law school. Her dad's a lawyer. Man, what a challenge. About that time, her little dog ran across the yard, and I picked it up. I returned it to its owner and introduced myself. Prince Charming, right? Her name was Deborah Maddox. I said, maybe we could double date sometime. Go with Walter and Pam. His wife's name was Pam, too. Maybe we could go out to eat. She said, yeah, I'd like to do that. I said, how about Friday night? She said, no, I'm ushering at DeKalb College at a graduation. Can't do it Friday night. I said, okay, well, I'll get back with you and maybe we'll do it some other time. Went back and said, Walter, she'll go out with me. Now, big guy, what do you think about that? He said, well, we ought to go to the Braves game Monday night, Memorial Day. That's a great idea. I went back across the yard and I said, hey, how about the Braves game Monday night? She said, okay. We ended up going to the Braves game. The next place we went, she invited me to a full gospel businessmen's fellowship meeting. Now, she didn't tell me that long name or I might not have gone. That sounded like something. She said, my dad is the president of a group of Christian businessmen, and they meet this Saturday. And we can go if you want. I said, sure, I'm a Christian. No problem. I go there, and the first speaker I heard was Paul Yarbrough. He is a Ford dealer out of Dallas, Texas, and has such a tremendous testimony. Larry, you remember him?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, talks so much like Jerry Clower, and he's about as funny as Jerry Clower. He really had, and I left there thinking, man, I never have been to a religious meeting like that. And she said, well, you know, they're meeting again. They start a convention in June. That was in May. The middle of the month, they start a convention. And I said, yeah, let's go back. I heard Larry Carr, a developer from down in Central America that developed low-income housing down there. And he talked about the importance of God in his life, just as Paul Yarborough had done. Jesus Christ was a common thread. The fact that these businessmen understood the power of God in their business and they were sharing it with others made me see that we as business people have something to share and we need a platform to do it on. Full Gospel was that platform for me. And it was through that Hines ends up going to Linwood and saying, you know, we need to do a luncheon. And Hines said, well, let me see. Larry lives out in that area. Let me put you in touch with him. So we have lunch together. And you know the rest of the story on the luncheon. Here we are. But you know, after I got involved with Full Gospel, there was, at the following year, there was another convention. Frank Phillips was in charge of the prayer room that met before the breakfast meeting each morning. And the way it worked on Friday night, they had a meeting. Then Saturday morning, they had a breakfast and then a luction and then there's one of the guys called him Full Belly Gospel Man because they eat so much. Frank Phillips had the prayer meeting at 6:30 in the morning. He said, hey, Larry, I want you to come down here and help me. We stayed in the hotel, down at the old Dunphy Hotel is where it was. I got up that morning. Deborah's still in bed, and I went over and I shaved. And I started weeping. I was afraid that they're going to make me say something down there. And I started thinking, man, I don't have anything to say. I've heard Paul Yarborough. I've heard Larry Carr. I've heard all these guys. And I went over and opened my Bible, and it opened up to Matthew 5. And as I looked at Matthew, and through those tears, I started reading, and I realized that I needed to understand what it was saying. I'm going to read the scripture to you, Matthew 5. 14:15, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Wow. I've got to just step up to the plate. I go in that room down there, and as soon as I come through the door, Frank Phillips says, there's Larry. Come on up here, Larry. Share what you've already been with the Lord. I can tell. There was my testimony. What had just happened in the room upstairs. As I shared that with people, that kind of took the edge off. That wasn't so bad. A few months later, Demas Shakarian came to town. Demas Shakarian was the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. He had the vision, which Hines and I still hold on to. He had a vision where he was prostrate on the floor, and he actually saw himself soaring around the earth. The first time he goes around, he sees men depressed and down and out. He circles the earth again, and he sees them raising their hands and a glorious shine on their face. And he finds out the difference is they accepted Jesus Christ into their life. They made God the controller of their life. And he sets out to set up meetings like this. And he gets Oral Roberts to come, and it doesn't work. But he gets a businessman to come and tell his story. And it works. Guys connect. Guys get excited about the fact that guy has been through some of the same things I have. And look at him. I start to realize, man, this is a dairy farmer. He talked about a cow being sick in his pasture. He'd go out and pray for the cow, and the cow would get well. He talked about going to auctions, and God would kind of put a light over the cow's head that he's supposed to buy. He'd go buy it, and it'd be a prize heifer. And I'm sitting there, and tears start to stream down my cheeks. And as he starts to wrap up, he gives an invitation at the end. Art Nassassin was the executive vice president of Full Gospel then. And Deborah and I are standing there as they're giving the invitation, and I'm weeping. I mean, I am touched. Art Nassassin comes straight toward me, and as he came to me, I raised my hands and just said, God, take me, use me. And he touched my head, and I started praising God. After that meeting, my mother-in-law came to me, and she said, Larry, you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go home and read the book of Acts. I went home and read the book of Acts, and I thought about how could I have special ability. I read how Peter preached to all those people from different languages even, and how many were saved. And I got excited, and I wanted to read more and more. I had tickets to Road Atlanta with J.C. Penney. I had pit passes back there where I could be with Paul Newman and those drivers. And I went next door. I had two of those tickets, and I gave the tickets to Bob. I said, Bob, you want to go to Road Atlanta this afternoon? He said, yeah, sure. I showed him. He said, man, these are great tickets. Why are you giving these away? I said, Bob, let me tell you what happened this morning. I was able to tell him what happened that morning, where my priorities got changed around. And doing what God would have me do had become more important than going to Road Atlanta to that race. Since that time, I've spoken Full Gospel meetings. Ron Eden came to your group, out at your house, and spoke to a group of men. Church groups. But the story remains the same. That God can use you, and He will use you if you'll be obedient and if you'll pay attention. You know, the idea that God is doing something all the time, the idea that we need to be aware of what God's doing and just get involved with Him doing it. As I went through cancer, there was never any doubt. But as I laid there on the bed after my surgery, by the way, I'm 100% free of cancer. Praise the Lord. As I laid there, thank you. As I laid there in the bed, and I thought, man, there's nothing I can do. It's all God. More of God, less of me. Wait a minute, that's the way it's supposed to be all the time. Not just when I'm sick. Man, praise the Lord. I understand it very well now. Can I do it? I think so. First God, and then all the rest. Can I do it all the time? Absolutely, but then we get involved with these dadgum people we have to be involved with. That'll be used by Satan to steal our victory if we let it happen. You know, the idea that we have an opportunity here at this luncheon to do what I'm doing today and to share across the table with each other the goodness of God is something that we need to be doing more of. The only way this can be done, it can't be done in church. Now, Will's on church staff, but he knows exactly what I'm talking about because he talked about the importance of his small group earlier. Glenn Palmer and I are in a small group together. Guys, get connected with other guys that will encourage you. I know you do that, Ron. Your Sunday school class has been powerful for many years out at Hebrew. The Tuesday meeting we do, Stacy, at the office. See, all these things. In fact, our pastor, Dr. Bill Blanchard, and I became very good friends even before he became the pastor. He and his wife, I was able to show houses to on their first visit here. As I really connected with them, it looked like they weren't coming. That was in the summer of 04. In the November of 04, I found out I had cancer. Then they end up coming. I look at Bill Blanchard as being part of the reason that I recovered. That was part of what it took to bring me through cancer. God put it together that way. And I've never even told Bill this. But I look back at the time that he invited me to go with him up to Willow Creek. And he and I roomed together at Bill Hybels Church. And I was going through chemotherapy then. But what an important time that was for me to grow in the Lord and understand the direction of the church even, with Dr. Bill Blanchard at the helm. And here's what I started to understand. One night Bill and I were going out of the church. He said, "Larry, you know, you said something to me the other day that I don't agree with you on." I said, "Really? What was that?" He said, "You told me that you thought I had the highest calling by God in the world as a pastor of a church. And I want to tell you that your calling is equal." That's what I don't agree with you on. Your calling is equal because you're able to minister to people that I'll never come in contact with. And I choked up. My eyes welled up as I thought, here's Dr. Bill Blanchard telling me that, who I held in high esteem because of his calling. And as he shared that with me, I thought, man, for him to be able to share that is very humbling to me. I went home and I thought about something that I read to my daughter Rebecca, my oldest daughter with Deborah, on the first Easter. I was reading her about the Passover, and it's in Luke 22. "And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where should we go?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when you're entered into that city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in.'" Now, Rebecca was laying on the bed, and I'm reading this to her down on my knees beside the bed. And I realize he's using a man. Doesn't even have his name in here. But he's bearing a pitcher of water. He is using somebody to get his will accomplished. But it doesn't even have his name. I start to think, man, we don't need our name in lights. We don't need to be Dr. Larry Schrader. We need just to be about God's business. And boy, that is so true for each one of us. Our relationship with Him is the most important thing. Ask for His direction. Constantly fellowship with Him. Fellowship with His people. Understand His direction, but be obedient. That's the key. That is the key that will take you to where you need to be. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much.
Awesome, Larry. One thing I forgot to mention is Larry's my best friend. And God has really knit our hearts together over the years, and it's been a blessing to know him. But as he was talking about the other people in his life, Jerry Lewis, Deborah, Paul Yarborough, Larry Carr, Linwood Maddox, he and I getting together, Art Nassassin, Bill Blanchard, all of the people that planted seeds in his life to help him grow in the Lord. And I believe that's what God calls us to do. I'm reading a book that talks about how to become a better you anyway, but one of the chapters is on spiritual DNA. And this message says, that just like we leave a physical DNA for our children and those that go ahead of us, so we leave a spiritual DNA with our children, with our wife, our spouse, our people we work with. And the thing that occurred to me is, am I leaving the kind of spiritual DNA for those that I come in contact with that I need to be leaving? And, you know, if I had not accepted Jesus when I was 30, in my case, my life would be a wreck right now. And there would be nothing of positive value that I left with the children. But through Jesus, changing our life, transforming us, it's just amazing how lives change, as Larry shared his testimony. It starts with accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. The Bible says then, this is in Galatians 3:26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a son or daughter of God himself? That's what the Bible says. If that's what it says, how are we going to live our lives? Like we're poor, run down, beaten up, never get a break, can't do this, can't do that, or are we going to go out in spite of the circumstances and live a victorious life like Larry has, even in the face of his colon cancer? What a testimony. Please be encouraged to take some of the CDs and invite your friends, and we'll be here next week just as we have been for 22 weeks, and let's close with a word of prayer. Pardon? 22 years. Well, when you get to be 60, those years and weeks kind of combine there. Anyway, Father, thank you for the joy that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can give. Father, we've heard the stories for over 22 years, time and time again. Jesus changes our lives for all eternity through the forgiveness of sins, that we can be reconciled to you, our Heavenly Father, and that we become your children. What an awesome position to be in. Father, I pray that everything that's been said here today will encourage and inspire people to go farther with you, to submit 100%, whether it's a physical need, whether it's a spiritual need, a financial need, whatever it might be, to just lay it in your hands and praise you for what you have in store. Lord, we thank you for saving us, for this luncheon, for the testimonies like Larry that remind us over and over again of the joy and peace that only Jesus brings. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.